In recent years, there's been much political uncertainty. The newspapers are full of speculation about leadership contests, challenges to authority, who might stay, who might go up, who might be coming down, who might be the next prime minister. Commentators talk of instability, division, and uncertainty. And many people look at the state of our nation and wonder what the future holds. Yet, political uncertainty is nothing new. The people we meet in today's readings knew all about uncertainty. Hagar finds herself abandoned in the wilderness with her son Ishmael. She has no clear future, no security, no resources, no obvious hope. The Christians in Rome were living under the shadow of an empire that could turn against them at any moment. And in the gospel, Jesus prepares his disciples for opposition, misunderstanding, and even division within families. Certainly not sweet Jesus, meek and mild. None of these readings are written from a position of comfort or strength. They are written for people who feel vulnerable, which is perhaps why they may have something important to say to a small village and church like ours. Because if we're honest, churches like ours can sometimes feel vulnerable. We look around and we see an aging congregation. We remember days when pews were fuller. We hear stories about declining church attendance. We wonder what the future might look like 5, 10, or 20 years from now. It can be tempting to think that the church's best days are behind it. But today's readings remind us that God has always done some of his best work in situations that look fragile and unlikely. Think of Hagar. She is literally at the end of her resources. The water has run out. The future appears hopeless. She sits down and weeps. Yet the story does not end there. God heard the voice of the boy. Not Abraham in his tents. Not Sarah in her household. Not the powerful and successful people. God heard the cry from the wilderness. And then comes one of the most beautiful moments in Scripture. God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. The well was already there. What changed was not God's provision, but Hagar's ability to see it. And I wonder whether that is a word for us. Perhaps God has already placed wells of living water around us. Perhaps there are people in Bolney searching for meaning, community, hope, and purpose. Perhaps there are families carrying burdens we know nothing about. Perhaps there are lonely people longing for friendship. Perhaps there are younger generations who have never really encountered the Christian faith, but are more spiritually hungry than we might imagine. They may well already be there. The question is whether God will open our eyes to see it. This is what mission begins with. Not with anxiety, not with panic, not with endless discussions about decline. Mission begins with seeing what God is already doing. The gospel takes us a step further. Three times Jesus says essentially the same thing. Do not be afraid. Have no fear. Do not be afraid. Why? because fear is one of the greatest enemies of mission. A fearful church becomes inward looking. A fearful church concentrates on survival. A fearful church becomes preoccupied with protecting what it already has. But Jesus sends his disciples in the opposite direction. What I say to you in the dark, he says, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. In other words, don't keep the gospel to yourselves. Share it. Speak about it. Live it. Invite people into it. The Christian faith was never meant to be hidden away. The gospel spread across the Roman Empire not because Christians possessed wealth or influence or political power, but because ordinary believers told others what Christ had done for them. The same remains true today. The future of the church in England will not ultimately depend upon prime ministers or bishops or strategies or committees or national debates, important though all of those things may be. The future of the church will depend upon ordinary people, ordinary Christians, you and me, living and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. People like us. People in villages like Bolney. People who quietly love their neighbours, welcome strangers, pray faithfully, and speak naturally about their faith. And then we come to St. Paul. In Romans, he speaks about freedom. And the collect echoes the same theme. God has broken the tyranny of sin and brought us into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The world often thinks that freedom means doing whatever we want. But Paul says that true freedom is something different. True freedom is belonging to Christ. True freedom is discovering who we were created to be. True freedom is no longer being ruled by fear, guilt, selfishness, or despair. And that freedom is not only for us, it is for everyone. Every person in Bolney. Every family in our community. Every child, every teenager, every commuter, every pensioner, every person who walks past this church building. The gospel is not a private possession. It is good news meant to be shared. So as we look to the future, therefore perhaps the question is not, how can we save the church? The church belongs to Christ. He's quite capable of saving his church. The better question is perhaps, where is God already at work? And how can we join in? Where are the wells in the wilderness? Who is God calling us to notice? Who is God calling us to welcome? Who is God calling us to invite? Who is God calling us to serve? Because the same God who saw Hagar in the wilderness, the same God who raised Christ from the dead, the same God who sent disciples into a hostile world is still at work today. Political leaders may come and go. Governments rise and fall. Parties gain power and lose it. But the kingdom of God continues to grow. And Christ continues to say to his church, do not be afraid. Not because the future is certain, but because he is. Amen.